3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back once again to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being here. Tough one to talk about as the Mariners fall to the Toronto Blue Jays 1-0. Taijuan Walker was dominant. He was brilliant. He was outstanding. Good stuff on him coming up. We'll hear from the Mariners pitcher after he was sensational. Mike Blowers has a really good breakdown of what he saw from Taijuan Walker in that ball game, and if that is his last appearance of the season, boy, does that whet the appetite for Taijuan Walker next season, because that was something else. Just rocket fire out of that right arm. He had it all working. That was a glimpse of what we've been talking about with Taijuan Walker for a long time. Something very, very special. It wasn't enough, though, as the Mariners fall to Toronto. We'll have the breakdown in just a moment. We'll hear from the skipper, Lloyd McClendon, as well, get his thoughts on what's going on. And a nice interview, too, with Rich Donnelly, third base coach for the Mariners. Shannon Dreyer, a chance to talk to the Mariners' third base coach and really trying to put some things in perspective during this tough, tough stretch here at the end of the season. That's good stuff. And Aaron Goldsmith, a great conversation with Jose Bautista. And I really enjoyed it. Bautista's a really, really good hitter. And it's interesting to hear him talking about how he became such a good hitter. Veteran opposed to what he did when he was younger. It's really good stuff. And I think ties in, especially what we've seen the last couple of years with so many young hitters trying to make their way in big league baseball and kind of what he did. So that's good as well. But let's start with the ball game. And we're going to start with Taijuan Walker.
Man, he was just lights out. And it was from the very beginning, just dealing right away.
The next pitch and a swing and a miss by Reyes for strike three. So Taijuan Walker strikes out the first batter he faces tonight. Jose Reyes goes down swinging, one away.
Yeah, I mean, he had it going. He had it going, and he was just mowing through Toronto.
Walker turns, tosses, strike three called. He gets him at 97. And Goins can't help but just admire that heat from Taijuan Walker, who has struck out his third batter tonight.
He was piling up the strikeouts, just working quickly. The pace of this game was incredible. Burley always works quickly. That's the way he deals. But Walker, too, was just in a groove, throwing. Got some help from his D along the way as well.
Taijuan's 0-2, swinging a ground ball, rake to the right side. Morales down to his belly, picks it up, throws to Walker, covering, and Taijuan beats Jose Reyes to first base. The Blue Jays retired in order for the second straight inning. Taijuan Walker with some hustle, and he has sat down the last eight Blue Jays in order.
Yeah, just working it. Faced the minimum in the second, in the third, in the fourth, in the fifth. I mean, making this lineup that's been red hot. I mean, he had the fire hose, brought the fire hose, and put this lineup out.
Payoff pitch, swing, and a miss at a 3-2 curveball. How about that? Uncle Charlie showing up at the front door of Jose Bautista. That is strikeout number four for Taijuan Walker, throwing 97-98. And he flips up that curveball at 76, and he strikes out Bautista.
Yeah, and the Blue Jays, all game long, they couldn't even get to second base. I mean, they weren't even getting opportunities to score until the eighth inning. A one-out walk to Kawasaki, his first walk of the ball game. And then it's just so unfortunate. Goins, the last hitter in the order, he had already had a hit in the ball game, a pop-up that off the bat you think it's going to be caught, it's going to be the inning, a harmless pop-up, but no, it was not harmless.
3-2 pitch, swing, and a fly ball into shallow right center field. Coming on is Jackson kicking to it. It's going to drop in a base hit. Kawasaki running third. The throw to the plate, not in time. A bloop single into shallow right center field. It drops in front of Jackson beyond the reach of Cano. And in its second goes Goins on the throw to the plate.
And that was it. Blue Jays score there. They get the run, and the Mariners cannot push a run across.
Yeah, unfortunately, they so badly needed a great start, and they got one. Their rotation has struggled so much, and I think that's what made that start that much more impressive. Taijuan Walker goes out there with the pressure of a game they really needed, having watched this Toronto offense go to work, top four offense in the American League, top five in baseball in terms of runs scored. He saw what they did to Felix and Paxton the previous two games, but there he is going out there, and it was just brilliant. But it wasn't enough, as the Mariners could not muster anything against Mark Burley, the veteran lefty. So here's what Taijuan Walker had to say after the ball game, after his brilliant outing, only giving up one run in eight innings.
A tough loss, but if I don't walk that guy in the eighth, they don't score, so...
Did the replay have anything to do with that? Or out of your rhythm?
I was excited, probably a little amped up, probably a little too much. And so, four-pitch walk to the next guy, a guy I have to go right after him. So, it doesn't help.
Coming into this game, obviously it was very big. How did you keep yourself under control?
I just kept everything the same, my routine the same. Didn't try to go out there and do too much. Went out there and just pitched my game.
Looked like you did right away after that four-pitch walk to Kawasaki, you got a new ball.
Yeah, I had to lock back in and try to get out of it. Try not to let them score. But, jam shot, blooper, so not much I can really do about it.
Now, what do you take out of that? Best start of your career, fell at the end of it.
Yeah, it's tough. You didn't win. It was a huge game that we needed to win, so it's kind of tough right now.
What was working well for you? It seemed like from the outside, everything.
Yeah, everything felt really good. But fastball location and changeup again. I had a lot of lefties, so my changeup was huge today against those lefties. Me and Z were just mixed the fastball in and out and just kept them off balance.
What was the game plan after watching what the Blue Jays had been able to do offensively the first two games?
Just go right after them. We kind of saw, when they got a lead, they were aggressive, so we had to just keep them under control and just make them put the ball in play and, try to get them uncomfortable at the play because they seemed really comfortable. So we went in for a ball, went in high just to get them uncomfortable.
Give me an idea, the longer that game is scoreless, sort of what's going through your mind when you're out there on the mound?
Not much. Just trying to just keep everything simple. I'm not trying to overthink or anything like that. Just trying to keep everything the same.
There he is, pitched well. Obviously disappointed that the Mariners didn't get the win. And, I mentioned one run in eight innings, and, a walk and then just a bloop job, with the outfielders playing doubles defense, just a bloop job that hits the turf, bounds in the air, and that was enough to get the run home. That is a tough way to give up a run. His line doesn't even tell the story of how good he was. Eight innings, one run. He was actually better than that. He was so good. But he gets tagged with the loss and a tough one. Here was Lloyd McClendon after the ball game.
Yeah, in all of this, that's one thing I certainly don't want to get lost. The young man threw a tremendous ball game. Really stepped up. Did everything we asked him to do. He was outstanding. I thought his secondary stuff was good. He commanded the fastball, commanded the strike zone. Great presence. Kept him off balance, kept him off the outside part of the plate by pitching in. Did a tremendous job.
How important is that for him at this point in his career? It's a tough year.
I think his last two outings have really given us a glimpse of the future. And we got a lot to be proud of, and this young man's going to be part of that future. We got a lot to be excited about. So, was it important? Yeah, I think it was. And I said that was that last out. I think he's turned the corner. He's starting to move in the right direction.
Hey, you saw a lot of Burley in the Central Division when he was there. And when he's got it going, and
he had it going. He's a veteran guy that knows what he's doing. He's got great touch and feel. Had the cutter going in, good changeup, breaking ball, mixed it all. That was vintage Burley.
Hey, the double, the game-winning double, what did you see from where you were?
It's just one of those things. It's very unfortunate. You know, obviously we're playing no doubles. It's a big swing where your first step is back, and it landed in a spot where nobody could get it. And it was on turf where it bounced high.
Yeah, and I thought Mike Blowers broke it down pretty well, talking about what he saw from Taiwan Walker in this game.
He was special tonight. He was what we've been hearing as far as the advertising goes. That's what he was something tonight. I thought the one thing that I wanted to see, Ricky, you and I talked about it in the pregame show, I wanted to see him come out and just be aggressive and be aggressive with that good fastball right away. And he was. He didn't back down for a second. Threw a few good curveballs. A 3-2 curveball to Batista was a good one. He threw some changeups early to get some strikeouts. But mainly it was just the good fastball, pitching inside, being aggressive, working ahead of hitters. A lot of first pitch strikes for him tonight. And he seemed to have a bit of an attitude about it.
Yeah.
I think it was.
An edge, you mean?
An edge, yeah. Just I'm coming at you. Not backing down a bit. I don't care if it's Batista or if it's Goins. I don't care. I'm coming at you. And I was really impressed with him tonight. They needed a great performance, and they ended up getting it. Unfortunately, they couldn't score any runs off of Burley.
I like the fact, too, he doubled up, you know, that fastball. He came back in there again, you know.
Number of times, Rick. He did that a number
that
of times.
That was beautiful.
And he had some late life to it. We saw just some awkward swings early in counts on his fastball. That lets you know that the guys, it has an afterburner on it. And because they're getting ready to hit the fastball. And he still gets some awkward swings. Really good. Unfortunately, a broken bat ends up beating you 1-0. The guys can't score any runs for him. But Taiwan, he took a huge step forward for this organization tonight.
Yeah, just huge. If we go back to the one run that scores in this ball game, full count, and you've got Goins, who came up with two hits tonight, including the RBI that ended up winning the ball game. It looked to us, and it looked like with Taiwan's body language, you saw his fist pump inside of his glove that he thought that was a can of corn that was going to end the inning.
Well, what he didn't understand in that situation is with two outs and a runner at first, all the outfielders are playing deep because you're trying to take the double away. You know the runner is going to take off on the pitch, and you just don't want anything to get into the corner so that he can score. So it was basically, and it was a perfect pitch. It was a fastball, 97, at the knees, right on the outside corner, off the end of the bat, broken bat, into right center field. Austin Jackson was shading towards left center a little bit and deep, and they just couldn't get there in time. And this is what the AstroTurf will do for you.
That bounce.
The difference isn't necessarily them not getting there. I think they still end up holding Kawasaki to third, but it was the big bounce and having to wait for the ball to come down. And by the time it came back down to Austin Jackson, he had to take a little bit of more time to gather himself and to make the throw to home, which he didn't have a lot on because it just stopped down all of his momentum as he's busting it in, trying to make the catch. One walk in the game on either side, and that's the difference in the game. It's unreal the way it works out sometimes, and it's just you feel badly for the Mariners. You feel terrible for Taiwan. What an outing! I can't wait to hear what Lloyd has to say about it. He had to be thrilled because the one thing that he has consistently talked to Taiwan about is being aggressive. I want to see the good fastball. I want you to go after people, and he had it and then some tonight. It was a great performance. So, you know, it's tough. It's a brutal way. The other games, they're not fun to watch because you're getting blown out. But this one right here was one that you had to win and you felt like you had a chance to win. And they just couldn't get anything going against Burley. So I don't know what else to say about it, guys. It's a tough way to lose right there. And I feel badly for the kid.
Yeah, good breakdown of Taiwan Walker. And obviously disappointing. And they're on the brink now. No margin for error. They have to win out and A's or Royals lose out. And that's just the facts of the matter right now. Unfortunate, too, things went their way last night in the other ball games with, you know, the Royals going down and with the A's going down, but the Mariners couldn't help their own cause. And now there's the only slim hope left, miracle time, is to win out and have one of those two lose out. But I thought a good conversation. Shannon Dreher, a chance to talk to Rich Donnelly, who's been around, been coaching for a long, long time at the big league level, and it's pretty good perspective on what's going on and what has been going on.
And today we're catching up with somebody who I think can probably give us a little bit of perspective right now and everything that we're seeing. I know it's been a tough week for the Mariners, but Rich Donnelly, you've been through this. You've been in baseball for so long. You see that clubhouse. What do you see right now from the guys?
Well, you know, after you play well, 30-some spring training games and over 150 games. We've been together like almost 200 days. You form a bond, and what you see is that you know, like today, we're looking up at the TV screen. There's only 9 teams in baseball that have a better record than we do. So, first of all, you're very proud of what these guys have done, how they stuck together through everything. We think back to some down times during the season when we lost 8 in a row. We think back to spring training when we left here and we weren't quite sure what we had. And like I say, you go through a lot of peaks and valleys. These guys have stayed together all year. It's great guys. Mac has done an unbelievable job molding this team in his liking. And the big thing with him all year is, you know, don't panic. And I think we're at that point now where you don't panic. You got 5 games to go. We've all seen in past history what can happen, and we can't control anything except what we have in front of us. But we've seen it happen on more than one occasion, and most recently the Indians last year. They tied the wild card on the last day of the season and then had the playoff to get in. When I was in high school, way, way back, I remember the Phillies had a 9-game lead with 10 to go and didn't make it. And it's very hard this last week. It's like a horse race. When you're coming down the stretch, sometimes you see a horse coming, and you see a horse coming from the outside, and all of a sudden there's a horse that sneaks up on the inside. Well, we're trying to be that horse on the inside.
What are they learning right now? So many of these young guys haven't been in this situation before. What are they learning as individuals and as a team about September?
Well, it's just like growing up. When you're a little kid, you know, you know, the first time you learn how to ride a bike, you know, you fall down, you fall off the bike, scrape your knee, you get up, learn how to ride the bike, and get on it. So when you get on it again, now you're full of confidence that's not going to happen again. The first time you ever cross the street as a little kid, you're scared to death. You got your mom and dad holding your hand. Then after a while, you cross it on your own. It's a big thrill. I mean, things happen in this life, whether it's young or old. These guys now are going through pressure situations in baseball. And a lot of them, I say it goes in like stages. Like when you first sign, when you first go to a professional team, that's one stage. Then when you go to a Double-A, that's another stage. Then when you go to the big leagues, you get these bright lights. You get 6 decks of fans, 50,000. That's another stage. Then you make the team. That's another stage. Then you play in a pressure game during the season. You know, that's enough. Then you're thrown into a playoff push. That's another. And then there's another level coming up for these guys. It's going to be the playoffs. That's a whole different level. Then the top level is the World Series, where you can't hardly breathe, and you got to learn how to get through all that. Some of our guys have been through it, but most of them haven't. And you know, once you get through it and go, hey, I can do this, and that's what we're going through now.
Well, so much. We appreciate that perspective. Last quick question for you. How are you guys doing? How are you and the other coaches right now?
Oh, we're doing good. You know, we're doing good. You know, we've all been through this, and we're fortunate enough to – most of us been in the World – the coach has been in the World Series or playoffs, and we know how hard this is. And I remember Jim Bleeding used to say, don't forget as a coach or a manager how hard it was to play this game. And I think because of that, and I think we all have a decent sense of humor to get through this. And like I say, it's been a wonderful year. It's been a great year. We've exceeded expectations. And, you know, we're looking forward to these 5 games, but we're also looking forward to the next year already. But these 5 games are the things that are in front of us right now.
Absolutely, Rich. Thank you.
All right, Sam. Thank you.
So good stuff there. And finally, Aaron Goldsmith talked to Jose Bautista, who's having an MVP-type season. Probably not going to win it, but, I mean, you look at the numbers, and he's got to be right there. Top 5 for sure, probably top 3 if you break it down. We'll see how the voting ends up, but he's having a really good year. On-base percentage, over 400, you know, smashing over 30 homers, over 100 RBIs, over 100 walks. I mean, having a really great year in the middle of the order. It was interesting to hear him talk about how he got to be the hitter he is now.
Jose, in game 1 of the series against the Mariners, you hit just an absolutely mammoth home run, your 35th of the season, and you have been one of the game's most prolific sluggers over the last 5 years. What is it about your swing that generates so much power?
It's hard for me to pinpoint and kind of dissect it myself, but even from an early age, I always had a quick swing. It's what, you know, most scouts and evaluators called it, and somehow every time I made contact, it was more of a line drive, solid contact, or a home run type of contact. So I've always had it there. What I was missing was some of that consistency of elite hitters, and through a lot of hard work, preparation, good coaching here from Ciro Gaston and his staff when I got traded here from Pittsburgh, I was able to find that opportunity, which led to the consistency when I applied all the other elements that I just mentioned. So it's been a great, fun ride, and here in Toronto, and got a couple more years to go. So I'm looking forward to those upcoming years.
It's pretty remarkable. In game one of the series, you walked once, you drove in two runs. That puts you at 103 walks on the season and 103 RBIs on the year as well. You've struck out less than 100 times. That type of ratio in today's kind of strikeout-heavy game is remarkable. How have you been able to draw so many walks while keeping the strikeouts down?
Well, you know, the walks are a byproduct of going up to the plate with a good game plan, realizing what opposing pitchers and teams are going to try to do against me, and not being so stubborn, kind of like I was earlier in my career, where I wanted to hit the pitches that I wanted and not necessarily what the pitcher was throwing me. So now I'm more aware of guys that throw off-speed pitches, and when I look for them, it's a different approach and a different mindset than before. So I'm able to lay off of more of them when they're outside of the strike zone, and then I get into more hitter's counts, which leads to less strikeouts, more walks, and when I do get a good pitch to hit in a 2-0 count or a 3-1 count, you know, I'm a little bit more confident, so I'm able to cause more damage as well.
Jose, really appreciate the time and the insights. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you.
So there it is. Day baseball today. Mariners take on the Blue Jays. A 1 o'clock start as bullpen is on against the Blue Jays today as the M's face another lefty. They have struggled mightily against lefties in their last seven ball games against lefty starters. They've only managed 300 runs against them. So they'll try and turn around that trend. Bullpen against a lefty should be an interesting matchup. Mariners taking on the Jays in game four of this series. Then home for just three games left. Hard to believe. But just three after this. Must win today. So until the podcast tomorrow, thanks for being here. Talk to you tomorrow.